This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Tech Talk. Now, not too long ago, there was a time that we might have to rush home to watch our favorite TV show. But with the introduction of video streaming services, we don't necessarily have to do that anymore. We can get video content over the internet, on the demand and on the go, and with increasing broadband access and smartphone penetration, this has also contributed to the rise in demand for OTT services. In fact, COVID-19 has further propelled the growth of this segment due to the closure of cinema halls and lockdown restrictions. Now, there's an awful lot of OTT platforms out there, and research by the Trade Desk showed that 180 million consumers stream 8 billion hours of OTT content per month across Southeast Asia, making OTT one of the fastest growing media channels in the region. Furthermore, the OTT market is expected to grow to $150 billion by 2022. That's according to PwC. I'm on the phone line now with Dinesh Ratnam. He's the country manager of iQIYI, Malaysia, Singapore, and Brunei. Now, they're currently one of the largest online video sites in the world, with nearly 6 billion hours spent on its service each month, and around 500 million monthly active users. Welcome to the show, Dinesh.
Hey, Richard. Thanks for having me. Excited to do this interview.
Those are some rather large numbers, Dinesh.
Yeah. It's staggering, actually. Now that you kind of lose track of how big this space really is and how fast it's growing. But when you when you summarized it like that, and you're hearing it, it's huge. And we kind of live and breathe that every day. So, you know, some of the, you know, just sort of breaking that down a little bit. So a lot of that growth, right? Like, and you kind of mentioned COVID-19 as well, which is an interesting point. So I think, you know, we've seen a lot of growth in this space pre-COVID. I would sort of divide it between a pre-COVID and post-COVID sort of environment. Yeah. So, you know, pre-COVID, a lot of the growth was really driven by two things. You know, one is, you know, the fundamental need for people to just be entertained. I think for as far long as we remember, you know, everyone wants to be entertained, even pre the internet, post the internet, pre social media, post social media. I think everyone always needs a form of escapism, and content has always played a key role in fulfilling that need to be entertained. So that's... Go ahead.
No, please, carry on.
So you know, that in some way or form historically has been fulfilled by different kinds of mediums. And, you know, I think TV was the biggest one for a long time. And then you sort of, like, with the advent of the internet, you see a lot of entertainment consumption sort of shifting from traditional TV over to the internet. But I think the key point is, you know, every single day, like, the one thing that's constant is people always want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And with that in mind, consumer habits have changed, and maybe, as you've just mentioned, pre-COVID and post-COVID or whatever, less people, or I should say fewer people, are choosing to consume entertainment via traditional TV and are moving towards OTT or streaming platforms or whatever. How important do you see OTT platforms nowadays for the consumer?
Super important, which actually, funny enough, it sort of segues into the second point I wanted to make, is that, you know, with the advent of the internet, consumers are increasingly demanding a lot more flexibility in terms of how they want to consume that entertainment. And you saw that pre-COVID, but I think post-COVID, the need for entertainment has increased tremendously. And secondly, consumers' expectation of how that content, of how they are entertained at home, especially, has increased tremendously. So users increasingly want to be able to consume content on the go, on demand, whenever they want to, wherever they want to, on multiple devices with a perfect video quality, perfect audio quality, and full flexibility on whether they want to whether they need to pay for that content or not. So the expectation for consumers, which was already high pre-COVID, I think has sort of like increased dramatically post-COVID, where consumers are increasingly selective on not only what content they want to consume, but how they consume it, and the quality of the medium of consumption as well. And you brought up another point earlier in your opening statement about traditional TV. And, you know, the funny thing is TVs has always been the main source of entertainment consumption. However, with the advent of the internet and, you know, us consumers being really spoiled in terms of like the convenience the internet has brought us, I think the expectation and demands of consumers in terms of how they want to consume content has evolved to a form that traditional TV just isn't able to fulfill anymore, which is what's really fueling the growth of streaming services or OTT platforms, if you will.
That's exactly what I was going to say. In terms of, I feel that to a degree, as consumers, we are spoiled. You know, I want to start watching a TV show on my phone whilst I'm on the way to or from the office. If I'm taking a cab, by the time I get home, when I'm doing my catch up work on my PC, I might want to have it streaming on my monitor whilst I'm doing a little bit, and then when I finish doing that, you know, I want to be able to throw it to my TV and resume watching there. You know, we have this ability nowadays to be able to do that, and that is a wonderful thing. It also opens us up, of course, to the potential for more marketing, you know, and for brands to be able to get their brands onto our faces or into our eyes, as it were, you know. So for companies like IGE, you know, how important for you guys is stuff like AVOD and AVOD?
Super important, Richard, and I'll tell you why. You know, one of the core, you know, back to the point I made about consumers being increasingly demanding in terms of how they want to consume content, at the end of the day, it's all about delivering the best experience to consumers and also providing them as much flexibility as possible. So it's not only flexibility in terms of how they consume that content. As you mentioned, your example was perfect, and it sounds like a day in the life of someone stuck at home during MCO. But being able to, you know, obviously besides being able to consume that content on different kinds of devices whenever they want to, I think the other key thing is, you know, having that flexibility in deciding whether you want to pay for that content or not. So and this is where the AVOD tier, or the free tier, as we call it, provides users that flexibility. And we really feel that ultimately we want to deliver the best user experience, and users should have full flexibility in deciding whether they want to pay for content or not. And what we're seeing is that there are different kinds of users. You know, some users actually choose to pay for content, and some users choose not to. So the way we offer our product is, you know, we have two tiers. The free tier allows you to consume content with ads. So it's an ad-supported tier. And it gives you access to the majority of our content catalog. However, some of that content might be made available to our free users at a slight delay to our paid users.
Got it.
So if you're a paid user, obviously you get to watch all that great content without ads. You get access to some additional exclusive content, and you also get to get, you know, first run content, you know, in advance of the free users.
Mm. What's the conversion rate like here in Malaysia from people from the freemium model to the paid model?
It really varies, Richard. So what we see is it really depends on the time of the month, what content is running at the time, you know, what's hot during a certain period and what's not. And we see a lot of people just sort of like being super flexible in terms of, you know, some users are loyal paid users, and they just feel that, you know, there's enough content and they want to experience all the benefits of being a paid user on an ongoing basis. But there are a lot of users who also are more than happy to stay on the free tier and consume all of that content while watching, you know, some of those ads that come along with it.
Okay, let's take a short break here, Dinesh. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, I'm on the phone line right now with Dinesh Ratnam. He is the country manager of IGE for Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. We'll be right back in just a few minutes after these messages here on BFM. You're tuned into Tech Talk on Enterprise on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Tech Talk. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone with Dinesh Ratnam. He is the country manager of IGE, Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei, currently one of the largest online video sites in the world with nearly 6 billion hours spent on its service each month and over 500 million monthly active users. Just before the break, Dinesh, we're having a bit of a chat, of course, but I want to talk to you now about, you know, brands and how they can leverage on IGE's advantage as you guys being one of the leading providers of Asian content.
Thanks, Richard. Actually, there are plenty of ways a brand can leverage the advertising solutions that we provide. But first, let me talk a little bit about why we think our solutions make sense. So firstly, you know, we are seeing a large millennial audience on our platform. So majority of our users tend to be digital first, below 40, below 35. So if you're a brand that's targeting a younger segment of the population, we are one of the perfect platforms to do that. Secondly, all of our content's premium content. It's premium Chinese, Korean, local, Japanese anime content. So we provide a very brand safe environment for advertising. And thirdly, we also provide highly targeted and contextual targeting as well for advertisers. So if you want to personalize a user segment that you want to target, or if you want to reach out to a particular audience segment based on certain targeting criteria, we are able to do that as well. And let me give you a few examples. One of the interesting things about our platform is that we are able to we gather so much data on how people consume content and what they consume on a daily basis. We know exactly what kind of Korean content someone watches, how much Korean content, who their favorite stars are, when they consume that content. It's interesting. A lot of people actually consume content during lunchtime.
Surprising.
Exactly. So we know all about the daily content consumption habits of our users. And what we're able to do is obviously this drives insights into how we recommend content to users. But I think what's interesting for brands is we're able to use all of these data-driven insights to then target these users based on different kinds of targeting criteria. So if you want to target users based on what kind of content they watch, when they watch it, certain kinds of devices, we're able to do all of those for brands in a very customized and personalized way. And we're also starting to introduce pretty cool targeting features as well. We're able to do things like scene targeting as well. Like, if you are a beauty brand, for example, and you want your ad to appear in a beauty related scene in a Korean romance drama, we can offer that solution to you as well. So they're pretty interesting ways we can deliver those advertising solutions in a very native way as well.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's really interesting. How would something like that work? I mean, is it AI done, or is it done by somebody physically watching the TV show and suggesting that this might be a good point? I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's really interesting.
No worries at all. So we believe in both. I think the IIG has always been known as being AI driven and AI powered. So we use AI in many and many aspects of our business. But then there's obviously some manual or human judgment involved in a lot of the recommendations as well. So I would say it's a combination of both. right? We think that AI allows us to do a lot of things that are very interesting in a very short amount of time and efficiently. But then we also think that, you know, there's nothing like human judgment as well for certain things that require it. So I would say it's a combination of both.
I mean, can you talk to me about some of the other technology that IGE is using? I mean, I did see something the other day about cutting-edge multi-sensory experiences to some users, and I'm looking that it wasn't too long ago that a whole bunch of patents were filed over in China. Can you explain to me some of these?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely proud to say that the business in China, so the Chinese app has been at the forefront of doing all sorts of creating all sorts of cool features that really deliver a highly interactive and immersive user experience. So, you know, some of the things that you might have read about, unfortunately, at this point in time, are only available in the mainland China app version of the app. The international app's a little bit different. And, you know, all of the cool features that we see on the Chinese app will eventually make its way to the international app as well. But for now, given, you know, we're still relatively new internationally, a lot of the focus has been to deliver, you know, I think the first thing's really to deliver the best quality video and audio experience to users first. And we want to ensure, and you know, we've got really positive feedback from users in terms of the streaming quality, there's no lag, the loading speeds, subtitle availability for every single one of our titles. You know, you can stream videos in HD quality, 4K. You know, we've even got Dolby Atmos quality sound as well, which is a cool feature you can actually turn on if you're a VIP subscriber. So we're really focused on delivering a baseline level of quality first. And then the next level would be sort of to start to introduce a lot of the cool stuff you're seeing in China, where we are really getting the user to be fully immersed in that viewing experience.
There's some really cool stuff happening in that space. I want to talk to you about content though as well. And obviously, you know, OTT platforms are their success, I guess, depends on the stuff that is available on that platform. And what about stuff like local content? How important is it that you have a good library of local content? I mean, it's fair that a lot of people will want to watch, you know, Korean dramas, and they'll want to watch, you know, movies from Hollywood or whatever, you know, anime from Japan. But what about local content? How far up on the scale of things is the importance of local content?
Richard, you bring up a really important point. We think it's super important, and you know, having the breadth and depth of quality local content is a core pillar of our content strategy. You know, so other than having amazing, you know, as you mentioned, Korean anime, Chinese content, you know, here in Malaysia especially, one of the first things I did when I joined IGE was to ensure that we ramp up our local content availability as quickly as possible. Local content remains one of the most viewed content in the country. Alongside other forms of content, you know, every single day there are millions of people who want to consume local content, and a large number of those users want to consume that content on demand on an OTT platform. So we see it as a core strategy. And, you know, what we've done is, you know, we've worked with, you know, some of the largest content providers in the country to license that content. So, you know, we have a partnership with Media Prima, where we have, you know, a majority of their top rated primetime local drama series available exclusively on a, you know, day and date basis on our platform. We also have some content from Astro as well. And we continue to, you know, work with these partners and also seek other content partners to work with as well, to sort of like bolster our content offering.
Wonderful stuff. And in terms of like producing, you know, IGE originals, you know, has that kind of content been started here in Malaysia yet?
Stay tuned, Richard. Like, hopefully you will be. Hopefully you will be hearing about that soon. I can't reveal too much just yet, but I will add that we want to not just be a passive player in the local content ecosystem. What I mean by that is we don't just want to be a service that just licenses content that has been produced by someone else. We think that's important, and that's an indirect investment into the local content ecosystem. But what we want to do is really be a core driver in the local content ecosystem. So what does that mean? Besides working with established partners like we already do today, we do also want to invest directly in productions of our own as well. So yes, you hopefully will be seeing a bunch of local IG originals eventually. And what we also want to do, which we've already started to do, is actually work with local agencies in the content space as well. For example, we launched an anti-piracy campaign along with FINAS back in April, where we are trying to rally the public to sort of like join in the battle against piracy. So local content is really important to us, but it's broader than just licensing existing content. We want to be an active player, an active contributor to the local ecosystem, whether it's indirectly working with content partners, investing directly in productions ourselves, or working with the other players and agencies in the space to sort of drive local content forward.
Excellent. Thanks very much for your time today, Dinesh.
Thank you so much, Richard. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Folks, I've been on the line with Dinesh Ratnam. He's the country manager of IGE Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei. They are currently one of the largest online video sites in the world, with nearly 6 billion hours spent on their service each month and around 500 million monthly active users. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you download it from. I recommend using the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. For Tech Talk here on BFM, my name is Rich Bradbury on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.